First, I'd like to thank the first two speakers for helping with me with my entrance. So I don't feel like I really need to talk a lot about the importance of biofuels or of nitrogen. I think everyone in this room is here because of that. So, you know, biofuels obviously are very important for helping us to become more energy independent in the future, and it's potentially a very sustainable fuel source. But there are some questions about the sustainability of that in terms of environmental consequences. And of course, I'm sure that everyone here knows the importance of leaching out of crops and that causing coastal high toxic zones, which is a big issue, lots of money going into that. And additionally, greenhouse gas emissions. So with biofuel crops, you normally think of CO2 as being important for them mitigating that. But with nitrogen fertilizers, you can get a lot of nitrous oxide emissions, which is a very powerful greenhouse gas, which can be very negative. So it's important to look at these things. So we are doing a side-by-side experiment with four biofuels crops. We're looking at the environmental impacts and sustainability of these four crops. And my group particularly is looking at the major pools and fluxes of nitrogen, carbon, and water, and I'm focusing on the nitrogen part of that. So the crops that we're looking at is a corn-corn soybean rotation, so not all at the same time, 2 years of corn and then a year of soybean, because we're trying to mimic what the typical farmer in central Illinois is doing, how they manage their crops. So we're looking at the effects of not what could be achieved, but if these crops get implemented as biofuel sources, what's going to happen long term? And the project is expected to go at least 10 years, maybe more, so we're looking at long term changes. And the other crops we're looking at are perennial crops, Miscanthus giganteus, switchgrass, and restored tallgrass prairie. We have 28 species in there, and there are some nitrogen fixers in the prairie that we know about. So here's a little schematic of our field site. So we have five replicates, one set of large plots, and then four sets of smaller plots. And so each one of the big plots, so one of the big plots is 3.8 hectares, and then each small plot is 0.7 hectares. So we have a lot of replicates. They're all on the same farm, right next to each other in the same soil, and experiencing, you know, the same weather, everything, you know, together, so things are very comparable. So just to give you a background on the management of these crops, so and what we're doing. So we're not fertilizing prairies at all. And just to give you some background, it's in the third year. So we established these crops in 2008, and now we're in the third year. So I'm presenting data from the second and third year. Prairies not being fertilized right now, because we have some nitrogen fixers in there. Switchgrass was not fertilized the first 2 years, but this year was fertilized with 56 kilograms per hectare of urea. And then the Miscanthus giganteus is not being fertilized just yet, but we may alter that over time if we see a decrease in yield. And then the cornstone soybean rotation is being fertilized, typical to what the regular farmers in the area are doing. The corn is fertilized at about 200 pounds or kilograms per hectare, and the soybeans is not fertilized, obviously. So we're trying to keep it real, like what really farmers are going to be doing out there, not optimum amounts. But we also have encountered some issues on our farm. Mainly just central Illinois has seen some crazy weather patterns. Really. So the first year that we planted, it was 2008, and I was in grad school then, and it was called the flood of 2008 in Indiana. So we had some issues with Miscanthus, and we discovered if you're trying to plant it and you have really, really excessive rain in the springtime, you might lose that crop. Also, excessive cold during the establishment period when the rhizomes are young can be harmful to them. So another part of this research is trying to figure out how to be grown this plant, the Miscanthus. It's newer to this region. And so this is coming up with some of my data. You know, we did have some issues with products. Just to give you a quick little, wouldn't be a good talk without a cartoon of the nitrogen cycle. There's very little nitrogen deposition coming in. There is some coming in with nitrate and ammonia. Some of the crops are fertilized, and it's primarily as ammonium, but there's some nitrate added as well, a small amount. So that comes in, it gets transformed by microbes, mainly into nitrate, which is more mobile nutrient. So a lot of that does leach out in this system. And also, through denitrification, nitrous oxide is an incomplete byproduct of that. And so we're seeing some nitrous oxide emissions from this. So just to give you quick methods of how we're doing this. So each of the big crops is individually tile drained for that crop, and we have auto samplers. So when we collect the tile drainage, it's just from that big spot. It's not coming from anywhere else. So we're able to see exactly the nutrients and whatnot that's in the tile drainage from our big spot. We also have resonance emitters in the smaller spot. So within the leaching. We're looking at mineralization and nitrification through the very bad technique. We're also looking at nitrous oxide emissions using static sensing chambers. We take a sample every 10 minutes throughout a 30-minute incubation. And then those are put in individual vials and analyzed on a GC. So we're looking at the nitrous emissions. And we just started looking at dissolved nitrous oxide in the tile drainage water. And then a separate project that I won't be talking about is following that dissolved nitrous oxide into the stream and seeing what the indirect emissions will be. But we're using a head space equilibration technique to look at dissolved nitrous oxide, which is kind of an ignored nitrous emission in these crops. And we're also looking at plant and soil nitrogen pools and using elemental analysis to do that. So just jump into the data. So this is the 3 years, or the first 3 years of our crop. So we're still in establishment for the perennial crop. And the first year, when there was a lot of soil disturbance, so all the pots got tilled and planted, and they, the averages are pretty much equal. And then when we go into the second year, the perennial crops are starting to separate. So switchgrass and prairie, which are the blue and pink down here, are leaching much less nitrate in the second year. And they're still young crops at this point. They're not very tall in the second year, even compared to me. But yet, Miss Campus had a tough time the first year. So we were replanting Miss Campus in the second year, so it's really the first year. So it was disturbed soil. We had to replant, so we weren't that surprised that the leaching in the Miss Campus plots was high up the corn. And then this third year, which was this growing season that we just ended, all of them are coming down a little bit more. And keep in mind that it's the corn-corn-soy rotation. So this year, corn is actually soybean. So that's why we think there's a little bit less leaching. It's coming down. But I think the next graph, so these are the averages of the water years. Here's actually a point. And these shows how things are changing over the establishment period. So then it's the first, second, and third year. And this is the nitrate leaching out of the tile drain. I didn't mention, we are analyzing ammonium as well, but our samples are overwhelmingly nitrate, so that's just what I'm recording. So you can see that in the second year, there's a definitive split between switchgrass and prairie and corn and Miscanthus. And again, Miscanthus was young. And then this year, they really separated out a lot. Very, very, very little nitrate leaching from the perennial crop, and then a little bit more with Miscanthus, and then the soybean. So I think that's really important to understand how much of the nitrogen is leaching out of these plots. And this is just the average table for you to see, and it's just the tile flow There are some differences in the flow between the flocks. And, you know, I just want to give you the loads and the concentrations, but there you can see kilograms per hectare of nitrate that's leaching out of these flocks. 1.5 and 1 for switchgrass and prairie. The corn flower soy is a little bit lower, higher at 9, and then the campus is 9.5. So there, when we're thinking about which biofuels to pursue, how much nitrogen is leaching out of these and getting into the nervous system is important to look at. These are numbers we need to know. So I do spend a lot of time looking at nitrous oxide emissions. Sample weekly throughout the dominant portion of the growing season, and then taper off a little as it gets colder and drier. It looks like nothing's going on with this graph, but it's not really true. It scaled to accommodate the fertilizer for corn. So this is 2009, so it is a corn crop, and it was fertilized at planting with 202 kilograms per hectare of UAN. Immediately after that was applied, we saw a very large flux in nitrous oxide emissions coming from that crop. So the other numbers are skewed to look like there's actually nothing coming out of them, simply because that one is so high. But there's no more coming out of them. So the numbers you really want to know, you might have been thinking, why are the numbers so low? Or so small, I can't hardly read them. So with campus, we had 1.5 kilograms per hectare of nitrous oxide coming out of them. Switchgrass, 1.2, prairie, 0.6, and then the corn, 7.5, which is a little higher than other studies in the area. But these numbers are going to change every year based on temperature and precipitation. So that's another reason it's important to have this 10-year study, so we can see it over time, because the numbers are going to be a little bit different every year based on environmental conditions. In 2010, the same thing. So the scale is different here. You notice the other one was much higher. 40 micrograms per meter squared. This one is at 6. So it's a different scale, to keep that in mind. So this year, the corn point soybean was soybean, so we did not fertilize. So these spikes here are really just really warm, wet weather. So you see a lot of nitrous oxide emissions when it's warm and wet, hence the nitrification. Switchgrass was fertilized with urea, but it appears to be an optimum amount because we didn't get a really high flux from the urea that we applied for. So just to give you those numbers bigger, 1.1 kilograms per hectare, 0.7 in switchgrass, 0.3 in prairie, and 2.4 in the soybean. So there are differences between these crops in the nitrogen that's emitted from them. This is just a little bit of a teaser graph. So we are looking at the nitrous oxide in the tile drainage, but we haven't gotten to calculating what those emissions might be over time, or as a whole. So keep moving on. But definitely, if you have more nitrate in the leachate water, you're going to have more nitrous oxide in them. So when nitrate is higher, you have higher nitrous oxide, dissolved nitrous oxide in the water. So this is just a summary of what I've just said. I'll just skip through that since I'm running long. But what you guys are probably most interested in are what are the yields. So we're still harvesting some of the crops for this year. So we just have last year's numbers. And they're in establishment. So in 2009, they were not mature plants. They were relatively small, and they're still growing. So for corn, we had 9.5 tons per hectare. The campus was 1.1. We expect that to be much, much higher. But it's in establishment. Switchgrass, 3.2 and 2.9. And ultimately, what a farmer's going to decide to grow is going to be based on yield. So it's important to follow this and see how it goes. But these were establishment crops. So, conclusions for this, all biofuels crops are not created equal. You have to remember that the yields are different and the amount of nitrogen that's leached out or emitted through nitrous oxide is different between them. But the crops are established, we see that the perennial crops tend to emit less nitrogen than the traditional crops. So I think the optimal fertilizer application is needed for these crops to maximize the benefit. I'd like to thank my field crew, which is very large. It takes a lot of work to do, a lot of people to do all this work, and our farm crew. And I'd like to thank our granting agency, Energy Biosciences Institute. And also, just point out this cute little picture at the bottom where they're in the dark. You might be wondering what that is. But we've been doing some 24-hour pamphlets throughout the night. And I just really want to thank my crew for being so great about working throughout the night. So, anyway, thanks for your attention. Well, it's my understanding that we are applying the rate that the farmers in our area are applying. So, no, it's my understanding that. Oh, no. Oh, well. Okay. Yeah, that's what people are doing. I guess I'm suggesting that maybe some optimum nitrogen application could be implemented by others to try and maximize that crop.